Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters.
And we're continuing down the petition road.
We're down at the local level here on Super Tuesday.
Yeah, very local. Yeah.
So anyway, we just talked about the outcome of the Grand Junction overlay petition. And yes, there will be this linear park at some point that will connect to Somerville and the community path. Hopefully over the BU Bridge,
maybe crossing the river. Where it's going to go?
Ultimately, yeah. If you go over where the railroad bridge under the BU Bridge is, there's actually two slots. One that has live track, and the other one never had track.
This is not part of that.
No, but the thing is, ultimately, to make a
Who
Grand
owns
Junction...
That?
That's the railroad people.
And then they wanted it to go to West Station in Austin. So all of that is in the works.
So the thing is, if they put two tracks on that, then that precludes certain things. But if they keep it as one track, which I think is really the only possibility for most of that.
You're discounting the whole Mass Pike redesign in Starro.
But the
thing
is,
that has to work into that.
I know, but the thing is that right now, I've walked over that bridge.
Yeah, I know. I go over it all the time.
The railroad bridge?
No.
I've walked over the railroad bridge. But the thing is, there's tracks on one side, and the other side has never had tracks. So you could throw boardwalk on there.
And where does that go to? Where does that connect to?
That connects just to the other side of the river, and it's part of the whole relocation of the Mass Pike plan.
Okay, so are there all these people joining in on this?
Yes.
Okay,
and there's a perfectly great corridor that can actually make a really direct pedestrian bicycle connection from Austin area directly to places like MIT.
But now you're talking about a bike thing. I'm talking about a train that people wanted to connect from West Station to North Station via this.
Well, the thing is there's still single track for a train. And the thing is
that's
not going away.
And a bike lane next to it?
There are places where that happens.
Oh.
It's called rail with trail.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you put up a bit of
a
barrier.
I'd like to see a design, yeah.
You know, it exists. It exists.
And definitely. What about the rowers?
This is all above the water. It's above the water.
Yeah, but they haven't had... Well, actually, when was the last time trains went over there?
Every day.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
But they're usually just moving rolling stock between... used to be, at least. Between.
But let's put it this way. The construction of it will cut off the river, one end of it, to the other. You cannot construct this and also have boats going.
Yes, you can.
I don't think so.
You most certainly can.
Oh, I doubt it.
You absolutely can.
Oh, you've seen bridges being built and not disturbing boat traffic underneath.
If you give me a few cartloads of lumber, I'll put them down on that bridge and make the path myself.
I believe it when I see it. Okay.
And I will not get in the way of any rowers.
All right, yeah.
Yeah,
all right,
it's fine.
Anyway.
You can do it overnight, honestly. It's not that hard to get over the bridge there. Right? It's easy. It's easy. The hard part is just getting the entire right-of-way available.
Exactly.
That was part of the Grand Junction overlay was to make
because there's so many different owners of property and state-owned some.
Available, yeah.
Just dealing with the
MIT
BU Bridge.
MIT owns a huge section of the
and the snafus at the BU Bridge and how that was designed involved four entities and it's still a mess. And
I know.
I plan my life around when I have to go over that bridge but with car. I usually walk, but it's terrible. And it hasn't gotten that much better.
So anyway, I'm looking forward to it.
It's a great idea.
Yeah,
but
I remember when we were on the Green Ribbon Open Space Committee some years ago, there was some consensus for actually pushing the Grand Junction overlay. I am still of the strong opinion that I'm the very first person who suggested it. Mm. And then everybody said, that's a great idea. We can get people from the fields in East Cambridge or the Magazine Beach or whatever. You know, and you know, that was 20 years ago, and now things are actually starting to move. And sometimes that's how long it takes.
And you know what's not started to move is that bridge or past something in Alewife. What happened to that?
You councilors and you developers start thinking big. You know,
got to
make good things happen.
Yeah.
Don't do one bridge.
I mean,
do
talk
two.
About a snafu over there, not being able to travel.
And there ought to be another commuter rail station out there as well, in my humble opinion.
Oh.
And then one of the bridges coming over the tracks should be part of a station, actually, that's out there in the vicinity of Alewife. So it's not Porter Square and then over to Belmont. There's an Alewife station in between. That's really what ought to happen.
Has that ever been talked about?
Many times. In fact, Brian Murphy,
died
5 years ago.
Yeah.
I just want to make note of that on February 5th. I remember talking with Brian at length about exactly how to do this, is to create this bridge at Alewife by basically having a commuter rail station go in there where the passing over the tracks would be an integrated within the station. So they would come right over the tracks, and it would be a whole station built right there for that purpose. You know, linking those different parts of the Alewife area, you know, quadrangle, triangle, getting over to Fresh Pond. There have been some linkages that have happened over the years, but it really needs to be done better. You know, and this wimpiness, political wimpiness about it all, to me, is just not okay. You know?
Well,
make it happen. Just do it.
Well, again, it's not just the city. It's other entities. Route 2. It's
true. You need to get the right-of-way. You need to get the okay. Yeah. But that's why I say, if you can basically swing a deal and convince the MBTA and the commuter rail agency.
Right, but it's also the private property people that own all that land over there, too.
Well, I mean, there was this Northwest Alewife proposal was actually going to do a bridge on the western end of it, which I think would be a...
That was recently, right?
Yes.
What happened to that?
And the petition expired. I hope something comes back. Because I think there's some really good things to be had there.
Right, you know?
But, so anyway, so that's...
So let's get to the more positive Harvard Square.
Okay, so there was another petition that had to be passed last night or not, or could have expired and been refiled, I suppose. But it was the amendments to the Harvard Square Overlay District. Again, the it was kind of an extraordinary proposal because it brought together people who in the past didn't even want to sit down at a table together. You know, like Suzanne Vier with the neighborhood groups and Pebble Gifford, who, you know, was sort of, you know, the current group kind of succeeds a lot of things Pebble did in the years past. Coupled with the people from the Business Association, John DiGiovanni, you know, Denise Jolson. And they brought in this rather renowned author of petitions named Mr. Patrick Barrett, who is now 5 for 5 in terms of zoning petitions he's authored, or at least largely authored. It's not like he's the only hand that's contributing these things, but he's become sort of the go-to person for actually cobbling together zoning language that people can live with. Yeah, there were a few amendments at the end from Dennis Carlin and others.
Did you read through them? I couldn't.
You know, I've read some of them, but at this point, to me, the more...
It was more like little design things.
And I agreed with some of what Dennis had to say. You know, I don't...
He's respected.
I'm no longer enamored of the so-called wedding cake style of building design where...
It doesn't seem like it's big.
Buildings have to, like, climb out this way here to create this plane. Sometimes it's really better to have, depending on the geometry, to actually have buildings just come up with a street wall. And it just, it looks better. It looks, sometimes it can look awesome great, you know? And precluding
What's the big change? If what's going to be allowed that maybe isn't allowed now?
I didn't see anything in this
that was
really
stood out.
Okay. But there were lots of little changes that I think are going to be consequential.
Well, what's the story about not trying to prevent more banks from coming in? What is that?
So the thing is that there's always been this concern, and not just in Harvard Square, but in other places, that banks are the stable tenants that property owners like to have because they'll sign on to a 20-year lease and you know, and they'll cover the costs and they won't, you know, bitch and moan about the rent levels and whatever. And so it's sort of
property owners want 20-year leases.
They like long-term leases,
Okay. That's a good one,
Well, people like stability. The thing is, especially if you've got investors, you'd sort of say, we're locked in, we're good, you know. Having, you know, that's not all property owners.
Right.
Some people want to keep their options open.
So like maybe a five-year lease.
Here in Central Square, for example, Morris Nagar, who, by the way, has, you know, built, the, you know, the, put in the H-Mart, and he's now built the building on Essex Street. But more on that in a bit. But the thing is that he had plans for the Blockbuster site, what we used to call the Blockbuster site at Norfolk Street and Mass Ave. And for years, he basically, there was a demolition clause that says, well, if you want to rent from me here, you have to do it with the understanding that I can give you 6 months' notice and you got to be out.
That's why it was always like a kind of a pop-up type place.
So it became
out of the Blue Gallery for a long time.
So the thing is there are some times when property owners don't want long-term leases because they've got long-term plans.
Right.
But if you're going to build the building or redevelop the building in a way, more often than not, the property owner wants to lock in a good solid tenant for a good long while.
Right. So
maybe with escalator clauses so they're not locked into a lower
rent. So you're arguing for banks in a way.
No, I'm just saying that in the absence of other zoning limitations, then that's typically what you would expect to happen.
So what does this do?
So what they did was they carved out language here, basically limited the amount of street frontages banks could have.
Oh, that's right. So you're not precluding banks, but you're basically saying
we're not going to...
You can't have that much storefront.
We're not going to have like an entire half a block here and just be nothing but bank windows.
I think it's like 80 linear.
Maybe. It's actually less, I think. But
no, that's what it was.
It was big, 70 or 80,
and now it's like 20 or 25, something like that.
It's a little more, but it's not much.
Yeah.
One of the nice piece of public testimony was somebody from the Cambridge Savings Bank actually got up and said, we think this is a great petition.
Yeah.
So, you know, if some of the established banks think this is okay.
But they like have an iconic building right there. I agree. It's my bank.
You know, I think some changes from the original, they actually didn't want to have marijuana outlets. But how did that get resolved, though?
Because that was a problem.
The counselors took it out. They said, no, we want the pot shots to be there, even if they're just going to be glazed over frosted glass, invisible, can't-see-in type windows. And the whole reason that was just part of the petition initially was because we thought that's retail killer.
Yeah.
And I agreed with that. So I think that shouldn't have been changed. But these guys are pretty hot for pot right now, you know. So that got changed. There were a few other changes here. But, you know, the other thing is there's also cultural changes. I think basically there has to be an understanding. You know, you can do so much with zoning. Mm-hmm. And then you also have to modify the culture. And right now, I think what we're starting to see is the business association people, the property ownership, some of the neighborhood people are actually being far more cooperative and trying to find best outcomes than I've ever seen in Harvard Square. And part of this whole process of this writing and passing the zoning was to get that done. After the vote last night, 9-0 in support of it, it was ordained. You know, I went out for beer with Patrick and John DiGiovanni and Suzanne Vie and Denise Gilson. You know, we all went out for beer. So these are the people from the neighborhood associations, the business associations, the zoning authors. And Patrick he's really Central Square. He's not Harvard Square. So this is an act of charity, let me tell you. Right? So, you know, and I think we're witnessing a bit of a change in culture. In a way, it's a little bit like what I see happening in Central Square with the Business Improvement District, where property owners who just said, look, as long as I get my checks, I'm good, are now actually playing ball, you know. And as I say, zoning is wonderful. You need the zoning so that potential property owners know what you can do and what you should be wary of. And there will be more zoning changes, I will tell you, for Central Square. Hopefully some that encourage art spaces because it'll be built into part of the zoning that is our expectation.
Right.
How you write that, I'm still very curious about that. But people are trying to write that right now.
Well, isn't there what happened to the art overlay? Did that ever get? That was an idea.
It was just an idea.
Not a petition.
And it doesn't, you know, the rubber hits the road when you actually
make a petition.
Yeah.
Change that.
Now, if you didn't have a business improvement district to help shepherd some of these things, to marry the property ownership with the potential tenants, a lot of this doesn't happen. So it's zoning and it's cultural change. And I've been seeing the cultural change happen. I wish we'd see it some more parts of the city happening, you know. But I'm kind of feeling optimistic about
this. But where have you seen the cultural change happen?
Well, for example,
in Central Square, I mean.
I'll give you an example, okay? So,
because people complain about all the losses.
The Obon Pan left. That's about to be replaced.
That's in Central Square.
And then it was sitting there. It's been vacant for some time.
Yeah.
And now there's going to be a place called Daily Table.
Oh.
I believe it's actually being started by the same people who were affiliated with Trader Joe's.
Wait a minute. Where did you hear that? I know Daily Table. It's in Dorchester.
Well, it's going to be here too.
And there's one in Lynn. Really?
Yep, really.
That's interesting because they try to choose places that All right. I'll have to find out more about
that. But why is it possible? Because the property owner is a decent human being.
Wow.
And the property owner was
receptive. It's a small daily table, though. It's going to be. That's a small space.
That's all right. It's okay. But the thing is that these things can happen when you've got people with the business improvement district.
Interesting.
And, you know, people of goodwill. You know, property owners of goodwill. And I know you anti-capitalists don't believe that exists, but it exists.
Daily Table was...
So we'll have Daily Table coming
In
Morris Agar's building, the new building, a building on Essex Street.
Yeah.
If you're a skateboarder, you're going to love what's coming there. Because there's a skateboard place in Alston called Orchard or Orchard Skate. They're coming to Essex Street.
Essex Street? Where in Essex Street is there room for skateboarding?
It's where they have like a temporary pop-up gallery space right now on the ground floor of Morris.
Oh, so it's indoors.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. It's going to be a skateboard ramp in there and everything. So
that's great because they'll go with the $5,000 a month apartments. But that's all right.
Listen, that's another issue, and that's another thing that needs to
I guess the cheapest is $2,800 for a studio, but...
The only way that really changes is we need to have a glut of apartments all around here.
Well, say that's happening, and that's going to lower prices.
Slowly,
but
too slowly.
Whatever. I mean, all is someone's going to
grow the
there.
Metropolis.
People pay taxes. Whatever.
Yeah. So those are some things
that is
happening.
That's really
in
curious
Central Square.
About. So what about the Oboe and Pan that's in? But you don't know.
Oh,
about
up
that.
In the Triangle by Putnam Square.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know about that one. I did hear something, but I don't remember what it was now. So anyway, the primary point I was trying to make here was simply that you can pass all the zoning in the world, and in for sort of satellite locations,
but you have to have the personal relationships and bring
especially
people together.
Especially in business districts, it is not just about the zoning,
right?
The zoning is a baseline. Mm-hmm. It's cultural shift in how you work within zoning, how you interact with property owners, how you curate the spaces. And I'll put a challenge out to you characters with the Chamber of Commerce, because you folks ought to be getting off the dime. Is that the proper phrase?
I don't know what you're going to say, so I don't know.
Listen. So you can have some people working cooperatively at Harvard Square to marry good retail tenants with spaces. People are doing that now in Central Square, really working hard at it. But the thing is, there's lots of other places. I mean, there was a city council order saying, well, what's the latest on this? I thought we were going to get a retail vacancy, inventory policy. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened with that? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's great. You know, if you actually can get a good inventory of that, and it's not like it doesn't exist, but it sort of does. It maybe could be better. But the thing is that, you know, whoever's doing the agents who are leasing these properties or not leasing them because they're vacant, you know, are they actually looking out, actually knowing the best tenants or who's looking? Are they doing
they're
a great
sitting
job?
On property till it becomes more.
Some are sitting on it.
I think that's generally what happens.
Right, but the thing is that's not. It's also sometimes. You know, they're not all the big characters coming with money from, you know, Chinese.
Well,
markets.
I wonder how many are a lot of the goodwill that you've talked about and the people that have done things, how many of those are local property owners?
A lot of them are. I'd like to see the inventory and then I could answer that.
I mean,
that
like
better.
Morris Nagar. I don't know about the Oboe and Pan. Is that a local person?
The one
that owns that space?
Well, Michael Simon is sort of the main man right up here.
A lot of these people have kind of a commitment to the area. We're talking about people coming in people that really have.
But even Gerald Chan, who's been the sort of the big
I would consider him local.
Property. He lives in Newton Center. I would consider him locally.
It's a big investment in Harvard Square and in medical. Stuff. I consider him local.
Right, so
I'm talking about people that LLC this, LLC that.
People can come. Well, I mean, there are a lot of LLCs because there are the legal reasons why you're safer.
Right, but some of them
that.
You just don't know who owns what.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, it'd be great if we could actually get to know them and chat them up and whatever.
Yeah.
And the Chamber of Commerce, you know, which I'm not quite sure what they do anymore, but the thing is, maybe they could step up and play a bit of that role. Maybe they can be sort of the catch-all business improvement district for the city that actually helps to you know, negotiate mm-hmm. and make some good thing, good outcomes happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they supposedly represent property owners and
well,
they
pay
owners,
into
membership.
Their membership.
Yeah, so, you know, provide those services. Maybe they do that in an unofficial way. I don't know. But, you know, the thing is it's I think the time has passed for just sort of sitting there and whining about empty retail space. You know, the economy is changing and maybe there's going to be good opportunities to come. And
right,
people
but a lot of this stuff is not cheap. And frankly, you know what? Yeah. I do not understand. Maybe you can tell me because you're central. How did these tattoo parlors survive?
I don't understand.
You know,
that
look at the frontage. All. The one on next to the O-Bone Pen, it's got 100 feet of, and there's people there.
Yeah, people in there all the
there's
time.
There's one on Prospect Street, tattoo parlor. It's like cannabis to me.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Are they like dropping a couple of G's for
how
a tattoo?
How can they afford that space?
How do you generate rent off tattoos? I know nothing of this stuff.
I think it costs a lot of money to get
maybe
a tattoo.
Maybe it costs a lot of money to get a tattoo.
It costs money to get edible marijuana.
It's not just sailors getting a heart arrow through saying, mom.
I feel that's what's happening. We're going to have cannabis and tattoo parlors and maybe...
We're heading that way, yeah. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if we mentioned it last time, but Revolutionary Clinics, you know...
Now, they didn't back down. What did the city do? They just decided not to pursue or wait till it pans out at the state level?
No, the city is basically challenging and they're trying to get this open.
But they're saying
they're still wedded to their social equity and economic empowerment.
But what are they not doing that allows
revolution?
No, they're
pushing back. They're trying to get an injunction against an injunction or
But they've sort of deferred now to the state to have this process go through versus.
You know, the thing is
this,
in my view, the regulatory agency associated with cannabis, basically, we're just promulgating regulations based not on law, but on desire. And I thought they kind of made some errors in legal judgment, you know, and I think that's part of how we got where we are. But Revolutionary Clinics in Central Square is now open for business. They are selling medical marijuana right in Central Square now.
But it wasn't the medical marijuana that was the problem. It was the
But the thing is that now that they are open as a medical marijuana dispensary.
Wait, this was going to stop them as a medical marijuana distributor?
No, I don't think so.
So
they just were waiting because their intention was to have recreational
at the same time.
Or so-called adult use marijuana.
So now it's just medical marijuana.
Right, because there's still some litigation going on in here. But the thing is they are now open. And the front corner space is a place called Kush Groove. I'm sure they're going to be selling
They can. They're not waiting for anything. I think they are. They have basically said you can do this until we say you can't.
Right. But the thing is, they're not selling recreational there yet.
I think they can. They're not waiting for some.
You probably need some sign-off still from city agencies.
Oh, well, the host agreement, all that stuff. Yeah, right.
But the thing is that letter of the law basically says, sooner or later, they got to be able to open as recreational.
Yeah.
And the only issue is, do they have to wait a short time or a long time to allow the other guys to get an advantage?
Yeah,
and then we're going to have four marijuana places in Central Square.
No, wait a minute. How far are those other ones, though? Is that a definite?
It looks to me like it's not a definite.
Where could it be? You've got Revolutionary Clinics
where
Central Kitchen
space, where the old Harvest Market is another one. Though I'm not sure about that one, but I think
that might go through.
And then if you go up next to this 1369 Coffee House, there's a place, I think, will become one.
Why? Why do you need four places in a block and a half?
It's all about the Benjamins. You can make the money. It's money.
I'm sorry. I don't want to live here anymore. I really I seriously have thought about it. It's just too much.
You know,
between bikes and cannabis and
I used to jokingly call it the Acapulco Gold Rush. The thing is everybody wants to get in on the ground floor.
It's just the wrong kind of thing to do, I think.
I know. But the thing is, there are still a lot of other potential places where real stuff could happen. There was a concern, I think it's a legitimate concern, that if people are trying to bid on the spaces, driving the rents up in order to open up pot shops, it actually makes it harder for other retail things to go
in. There won't be any. The other retail is the tattoo parlors.
Maybe so.
Thanks.
Oh, well, by the way, one of the things, since we did mention about the Harvard Square Overlay Edition, is that...
Forget the art. I don't know how they can afford it then.
It's got to be carved out with zoning. It's like the only way to make it is to make it a kind of a set-aside built into the zoning itself, so that if you want to build a few more floors, you have to provide some of that space. It's not an unprecedented idea. Look at the Constellation Center space down in Kendall Square. That
That's
was part
of
that
yeah.
planned unit development. And then it sat there for a bazillion years, but now... Biomed Realty is actually making it happen. I don't know all the particulars of it, but there's an example where
an
art space was built right into the allowances.
Yeah. Well, I think it was all negotiation,
Well, that's what a lot of zoning can be.
Okay,
times.
Quickly. Yeah. Who owns the space right across from the field on Prospect Street? It's never been really... you know where Work Bar is, and then there's this...
Yeah, I'm...
Where CCTV used
to be. Spacing out on
the
name, and there was going to be a...
There's going to be this and that, and it's never happened.
And then it just never seems to happen.
Great place for a dance or performance studio.
I agree.
But
there is
going to
be live
that.
Fighting in the window next door. That's going to be cool.
What?
Yeah, Chris Gully's going to be open Red Line Sports, I think it's called. And it's,
what?
There's going to be a boxing ring right there in the front window facing Prospect Street.
You're talking about the same space I'm talking about?
Right next door, same building. Yeah, yeah.
So that's what's going in there instead of a dance
No, no, no,
space.
No, that's going in, but then the other space is an even bigger space. Which
live
is,
boxing?
Yeah.
All People, right.
You'll be able to stand
you know
on
what?
The sidewalk.
That's it. Forget it.
You'll
get your tattoo.
You can go,
get your joint. Get your edible and go live
that's
box.
Right.
That's it. Forget it.
Get yourself wasted.
Oh,
go
my
dance
God.
Dance your way right
that's
up
it.
To Prospect
Sorry.
Street. Look in the window. Watch them get into a boxing
in
match.
In the half a minute we have left, there's no city council meeting next week. There's
that's
League
right.
of Cities. They're all going down
there's
to Washington. But we'll probably have a show.
Yeah,
hopefully
yeah.
with a guest.
Yeah, we're actually looking at some guests.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
All right.
So we're heading in that way. By the way, Cambridge did get its triple A bond rating
right.
once again.
You can read all about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the Fresh Pond Apartments are being secured.
Oh,
a lot of good
story.
Stuff
we should
happening.
Definitely talk more about that. So
yes, that's really important.
The big expiring use.
Okay.
Victory.
All right.
So
go vote
See
if you
soon.
Haven't. You have some time. Bye.